This is The Stark Truth, hosted by Robert Stark. Brought to you by StarkTruthRadio.com. Robert Stark is an American journalist and political commentator. You can listen to his podcast at www.StarkTruthRadio.com.
G'day mate, Luke Ford here. So, going to do something a little different this evening. Rob Stark of HBO Game of Thrones fame is going to take over the show, and he's going to interview me about Stormy Daniels, who I knew between 2003-2007 when I was blogging about the porn industry. I interviewed her several times, and our paths ran in similar circles for about 4 years. So without further ado, let me turn things over to Rob Stark. Go ahead, Rob.
Hi, Luke. Great speaking with you. Thanks for having me on. So, to start things off, we're going to be talking about the Stormy Daniels and the whole like, hush money trial with Trump. And you actually interviewed Stormy Daniels, but I think just to kind of give our audience like kind of a reintroduction, if you can give like a brief kind of background information of basically being like the number one like porn journalist and how that went and how you got out of that, just kind of like a brief like summary.
Yeah, so in the fall of 1995, I figured I needed to write a book. And so I went to the library and I went to various bookstores and I looked up different topics. And the one topic that had not been done for a couple of decades that I was interested in doing was a history of sex in film. So I started research on that in the fall of 1995, and then in the course of researching that topic, I developed a blog that was primarily about the porn industry, and I interviewed hundreds of people in the industry, and I wasn't able to put most of their stories into my book, so instead I just transferred the interviews to my blog, and then I started updating it every day with the latest news going on in the sex industry. So I made my living primarily from blogging from about fall of 1997 until October of 2007, when I quit writing on the porn industry.
Can you give the context of how you met Stormy Daniels for the interview? This was at a Seymour Butts Showtime party in 2003.
Oh, okay. So I've forgotten that exact context, but we just ran in the same circles. So she was a prominent figure in the industry. She was among the most intelligent people in the industry, certainly among the performers. And she always had a sense of presence. So people are commenting now about her presence, her stage manner, her ability to think on her feet, stand up to cross-examination. Well, she was like that when I met her when she was 2003. So she would have been about 21 or 22 years of age. So As long as I've known her, she has had intelligence, she's had presence, she's had command of her words, she has never had a reputation for lying, she hasn't had a reputation for exaggeration, but she's been among the most level-headed members of the industry, and I've never seen her rattled. Now, of course, she's human, and I'm sure she gets rattled, but even back in 2003, she was careful in what she had to say. And she was, you know, wary of my reputation, but she felt, you know, very much in control of herself, and she knew the power that her presence had over men in particular.
How well did you know her?
I'd never like personally just spent time with her hanging out. It was always in a professional sense. So I'd run into her at events. And so she knew that I had a prominent website in the industry. I knew that she was a prominent player in the industry. And so she treated me warily, but with respect. And I treated her warily, but with respect, because she had a formidable presence. You know how there are certain people who just, they just seem to invite you to abuse them, right? There are certain people who just, certain women who have the look, you know, you can do anything you want to me, or certain guys who are just looking to be taken advantage of. She was the opposite of that. There are other people who you're always on your toes around because they're not going to put up with any nonsense. And sex workers often develop a pretty hard shell, and they learn how to take care of themselves, and they understand the difference between a manufactured image and what's real. And so they can turn it on or turn it off. But Stormy Daniels was always someone who gave off the vibe that you better take it seriously and respectfully. Like, there was nothing, absolutely nothing about her that invited you to treat her carelessly, invited you to treat her casually, invited you to treat her disrespectfully or to be abusive in any way. This was a woman who was very much in charge of her trajectory. Now, I can look great in a suit, right? There are situations where I can come across as commanding, and there are situations where I can come across as assured, and there are situations where I have presence. And so too with Stormy Daniels. Obviously, she's been married 4 times now. She's working as a stripper at age 45. All right. Nobody would want this sort of life for someone they cared about, not for a niece or for a daughter or for a sister or for a mother. No one would want Stormy Daniels' life. And so even though I'm saying that she's got presence and that she's highly intelligent and that she can think on her feet and that she doesn't take crap from people, that doesn't mean that outside of these specific situations where she's seen publicly, that doesn't mean there aren't large cracks in the mirror. So even when I look good in a suit, for about 12 years, I drove, no, 12, 15 years, I drove a serial killer van. It was like a 1982 Dodge B350. So on the one hand, when I would walk into a party or a social occasion, I may be dressed well and have presence and command. But then I would go back to this van, and I was living in essentially a hovel at the time. And so it's a little bit like the picture of Dorian Gray. So on the outside, Stormy Daniels comes across as cool, calm, and collected. That doesn't mean that she doesn't have more than her share of pathologies on the inside. She just doesn't bring them forward, usually in an interview or in a court situation.
Is the interview, is it just a written transcript, or is there a video? Do you still have a video or audio of the interview, and is that available online?
It's not available online. I've probably got some backup of various video interviews I did with Stormy, but I took down almost all the video interviews I did with porn stars. It was the stuff that was getting the overwhelming number of hits on my YouTube channels, and I just didn't want to leverage that anymore unless there was something special. So there's an interview there with a deaf porn star who comes from a Jewish background, or there are some individual exceptions. But I took down dozens upon dozens of the video interviews that I did with the various porn stars, including Stormy Daniels. I could probably retrieve them at some point. But she didn't say anything earth-shattering. She was always careful in what she said to me because she recognized that I had a widely read blog and that people would check it out first or second thing to begin the day to see what was going on in the industry. And initially, when I started blogging, people were incredibly free with me. They would just speak off the cuff because normally there's nothing people love more than talking about themselves, but there's nothing that people hate more than seeing these words finally end up in print, whether it's literal print or the print of the internet. And so people learn very quickly. And so all those vulnerable, oversharing interviews that I got to do in the early days, they became much harder to get as people became more savvy and as my website developed a wider readership and people saw that there were consequences for their words. Now, Stormy Daniels seemed to always have a sense that there were consequences for a word. So even if she'd never met me, right, I had nothing to do with Stormy Daniels developing a sense that there were consequences for her words. But she preternaturally had this sense of calm when she was questioned. And so some people, I guess, react to the trauma of early childhood by being easily thrown. Stormy Daniels developed a tough shell, a hard shell, and an ability to take care of herself and to intimidate people who may want to treat her trivially just because she's a porn star.
So you said that even though she came across as very verbally poised and impressive, you also said that you identified with her as a broken person who struggled with issues with attachment. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I don't remember all the details of her horrible early childhood, but it was not anything that anyone would wish on anyone they cared about. And so too with me, there was a tremendous amount of chaos in my early childhood with my mother dying. I was living in foster care and moving around between different people who were looking after me. And so out of that, I developed a tremendous insecurity. And then when I would find things as I moved through life that made me feel more secure, such as in eighth grade, I decided, oh, I want to be a journalist when I grew up. And so when I would develop my journalistic chops, that would help me feel more secure in the world. Or I started running marathons when I was age 12, and having that athletic ability made me feel more secure in the world. Or at another time, I took up massive workouts, so doing push-ups and pull-ups, and just being incredibly strong, able to work in the 100-degree Sacramento heat for 80, 90 hours a week, and just building up that kind of vitality, it made me feel more confident and strong. And so I think people like Stormy and me, who come from chaotic early childhoods, we're very quick to try to latch onto things that might make us feel more secure in the world. And so I think she recognized, like many sex workers, the tremendous power that she had over men. And so it's always very tempting to take the easy solution, particularly when you're dealing with a tremendous amount of anxiety and insecurity. So you try to narrow down your options in life to very few, because you can manage those. And so one way that I reacted to the chaos of my early childhood is that I'm not terribly flexible. Most interpersonal interactions have to largely occur on my terms. And I'm not someone who's just chill with hanging out and letting things take their natural course. After an hour or two, all right, I'm going to get antsy usually. And so by narrowing the seemingly unlimited possibilities in life down to just a few, so that I put a lot of effort into my live streams, or I put a lot of effort into my blog posts, or I put a lot of effort into my religion or to my 12-step recovery, I managed to narrow all the options in life just down to a few that I specialize in that bring me some comfort. And it seems like Stormy Daniels has narrowed her efforts in life just essentially down to sex work and to her daughter. She's now on marriage number 4, and I think she loves horses, so maybe a hobby or two. And so it's understandable that people react to chaos and insecurity by trying to hold on to one thing that makes their life manageable. And so with Stormy Daniels, she must have discovered early on the tremendous sexual allure that she possessed and the power that gave her over men. And she probably also reacted to the insecurity of her childhood by wanting to accumulate money. And so she saw the Donald Trump interaction as an opportunity to make money. She got paid off. And when you're this insecure and you're this eager to try to narrow down your options, all right, you're not going to make the wiser, more considered choices of someone who's more secure in their attachment level. So about 2/3 of the population tends to be secure in their attachment level, meaning that when people treat them well, that they're open to developing relations with people who treat them well. When people treat them badly, then they distance themselves from people who treat them badly. And if people show no interest in interacting with them, the secure person doesn't push it. While the insecure or the avoidant attachment personality has all sorts of discordant responses to life. So I notice with my more healthy peers that they are able to take more time to make decisions, that they're able to see a bigger picture than I tend to, that they're able to weigh more of the consequences of their choices. And there's not the sense of desperation that people who come from chaotic childhoods often bring to making choices. And so I think it seems fairly obvious that Stormy Daniels reacted to the chaos and to the abuse of her early childhood by determining that she would have money and that she would make herself safe, and she would wield her power over men to secure for herself safety and financial resources. Now, the problem with narrowing down all your choices to sex work is that it precludes you from much wiser choices. This is a woman who, with any sort of healthy upbringing, could have made much, much more success of her life. She could have made much better choices. No one sane would wish Stormy Daniels' life yeah, she's making some money off Donald Trump, but think about all the stalkers, the harassment, having to hire attorneys, the often unwanted spotlight, having your life turned, you know, upside down for public consumption. So people who aren't desperate, people who don't have this overwhelming anxiety that they just have to get rid of as quickly as possible by deciding on one particular course of action, would make better choices than I've made over the course of my life, or that Stormy Daniels has made. One thing that I learned from approximately 10 years in therapy was that there are always more choices than what I wanted to believe. There's something appealing and calming for people with my levels of anxiety and insecurity with imagining that there's only two choices, when frequently there are many, many more choices than what I was seeing. It's just that I was approaching the world in a way that was like very rash, very quick to make definitive judgments, frequently against my own best interests. And I see that same sort of pattern with Stormy.
And you said you reject the narrative that she's making up the allegations to defame Trump. So you basically believe from your experience meeting her that she's telling the truth.
Yeah, she never had a reputation for fabrication. She was always careful with her words. She didn't exaggerate when I would interview her. So often people try to build up, you know, castles of imaginary achievement or imaginary connections or imaginary reasons why they're so special. And I never, ever saw that with Stormy. She was quite unusual in her level-headedness. And I haven't followed her story closely hitting the news with Donald Trump. But to the extent that I have followed it, I've never sensed anything that she's said that seems discordant with the truth, that just jars me. So I read part of her memoir, and I read in particular her interaction with Donald Trump. All has the ring of truth. And when Trump's defense attorneys would try to shake her on the stand and try to cut her down and try to humiliate her, she stood her ground very effectively. And it's a lot easier to stand your ground if you're basically coming from a place of truth, right? As opposed to a castle of lies that you're trying to protect. So Stormy has always exuded the sense of self-assurance that comes from a person who's just telling the truth. That doesn't mean that she's perfect. That doesn't mean that she hasn't misunderstood something, misremembered something, or she's as prone to exaggeration as the next person. But I've never seen a pattern of exaggeration. I've never seen a pattern of dysfunctional lying. I've never seen prevarication as being among her choices. And I've never seen anything that she said about Donald Trump that does not ring true.
To be honest, I haven't been following the trials that extensively, but what are your overall thoughts on the trials and the case, legal case against Trump?
Well, the legal case against Trump, from all the legal experts that I've listened to, is that it's completely unprecedented to bring something like this. So it does not seem like a strong case. But also, everything I've read about Stormy Daniels' testimony was that she acquitted herself quite well. I mean, no one of any stature has written that she fell apart on the stand, that she withered under cross-examination. No one's been able to provide any substantial evidence that she's saying things that are not true about Donald Trump. So she seems to have far more credibility than her accusers, those who want to deny the essential truth of her story.
Are you overall pro-Trump politically?
Yeah, I would still like to see Donald Trump as the next president of the United States, but more soberly than in 2015 or 2016. I will admit he's not very good at running things, that he was not particularly effective as a president, that he hasn't demonstrated much executive capacity, that he is embarrassingly childish and puerile, and his antics are off-putting. His behavior after the 2020 election result was appalling, that he played a substantial role in creating the chaos that led to January 6th, that he plunged much of the country into chaos by denying the legitimacy of the voting results. So Donald Trump is a very flawed vessel, but I still like his foundational principles, which he's had. His basic foundational beliefs are that trade should be run according to the best interests of Americans, not according to free market principles, but on a very pragmatic nationalist direction. And he's concerned about immigration, that we've allowed in way too much immigration, both legal and illegal. And he doesn't want us to get into unnecessary wars overseas. And so those are three of the most important issues. And add four, to the extent he's for law enforcement, and he's certainly more for law enforcement than any Democratic candidate for president. So those are my top four issues: law enforcement, protecting the border, not getting into unnecessary wars overseas, and developing a trade policy that is aligned with the best interests of Americans rather than aligned with certain theoretical principles in economics.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about either Stormy Daniels or Donald Trump or any other political topic that's on your mind?
Well, it's just funny that Stormy Daniels comes across more impressively, I think, with regard to Donald Trump than vice versa. And so that represents the wildness of life, right? Who's the boss? I forgot who said it. The situation's the boss. So you might be the lead singer in number one rock band, but if your van breaks down on the way to the concert, the person who can fix your van becomes the boss, right? And in certain situations, people like Stormy Daniels will thrive. In certain situations, I will thrive. For example, I'm good at conducting interviews, but I don't have the charismatic temperature-setting abilities of, say, a Kevin Michael Grace, who just by force of his charisma can power a show. I'm more of an MC or the person who asks questions or instigates things. So in some situations, I shine. In some situations, Stormy shines. In some situations, Donald Trump would be the best president of the United States. Other situations, I think Joe Biden would be a better president. But it's kind of amusing that Biden is probably the most similar to Donald Trump in personality of any other major American politician. I'll pass there.
I guess one more question is, you've been following the online dissident right for years. What have been your thoughts on like the direction of the online dissident right over, say like the past 4 years? Like, what have been some of your key observations?
Well, it started rising to prominence in 2014 when the dissident right moved from a movement that's primarily about writing blog posts to making podcasts and videos. So then the average level of IQ among people who are interested in the dissident right, you know, dropped about 15 points. That's an observation by Colin Liddell. It's a sharp observation when the movement moved from being something that was primarily the written word to the spoken word. Then it essentially self-destructed in early 2016 with Hailgate and, you know, other forms of dysfunction that people just, you know, can't stand to be in each other's presence. And then the death knell with Charlottesville, when this online movement, which was once known primarily as a bunch of merry pranksters, became known in the popular imagination as a bunch of Nazis. And so the movement essentially died in 2018. And I haven't paid that much attention to it since about 2018, 2019. And I remember in 2020 how disgusted I was by so many people in the dissident right who didn't take COVID seriously. It just increasingly, as we move from 2017 onward, the movement just seemed to be an ongoing slow motion or rapid motion disaster, and nothing's developed in the past 4 years that's changed my opinion on that.
Luke, thanks for the interview.
Okay, thanks, Robert. Good to catch up with you. It's been too long. Thanks, man.
Thanks. Take care.